I can't help but to look at this scripture, and I can't explain why I'm drawn to this scripture. But one day, Brother Billy and I try to meet at least one day a week. We try to at least, and go around and do a little bit of visiting here and there. And this scripture, we went to Brother Jim Cochran's church one day, and he was having a missions conference. And I sat right there in the pew, and I just knew going in that Brother Jim was calling up people to get up and speak that morning. And I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit, but it was pressing on my heart. You need to have something ready to go. You need to have a word. You know, we always need to be prepared to give a word or an account when called upon. But, Miss Regina was there. Some other great men of God were there. Mr. Tim and Miss Whitney and Melanie were there as well. Some other great men of God. And they got up to speak. Brother Charles Searles led the main message for that day. And y'all know how crazy Brother Charles is. But it was a blessing to my heart. But I can't explain how this come up. But for whatever reason, I can't let it go. I still can't. And I sat there and I listened to the speakers that morning. And I listened to them, and I tell you, I said, man, you got to have something to say. Brother Jim's going to call on you in just a minute, maybe 5 minutes worth of something. And so I opened my Bible, and I began to jot down a small outline around this passage. And boy, it dawned on me a few things, and hopefully we'll get to that in here in just a minute. But I tell you, I told him, I said, boy, I'm ready. I'm ready. Brother Jim, just call on me. I'm ready. Come on, Brother Jim. Call me, Brother Jim. Well, we left, and he didn't call me, but I was ready to go anyway. But it just reminded me, you know, as Scripture tells us, obviously in 2 Timothy, it tells us to preach the word. It says to be instant, in season, and what else? Out of season. And I tell you, I was so ill prepared going in, but by the time I left, I had me an outline, and I've got 18 pages of it for you today. And I hope that we're going to get out of here on time, and y'all just pray that God will bless and God will get me through this thing. And I think I numbered my pages right, and we won't have to flip through them. But I can't explain what draws me to this passage, but as I get older each and every day, I can't help but to realize that I have to rely more on Him and less of me each and every day. Now, I tell you what, the Bible talks about wisdom. The Bible talks about wisdom. You know, we get knowledge from studying, from reading, but only wisdom comes from above. And I have to get that through studying Him and relying on Him to impart wisdom into me. But in order to do that, in order for me to rely more on Him each and every day, my faith must increase. Let's look at this passage a little bit more in depth. Let's go back to verse Mark 5, and let's go to 25. It says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood and suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had." Now, first of all, Scripture tells us that a certain woman come up. And if you go back, I think it's Luke's gospel, and read the same account, it says, "And behold, a woman." Now, I don't know about you, but I just like how that's inserted in there. Behold. And it says, looky here now. For those in Johnson County, it says, well, I'll be. That's what that behold is. You got to remember there's a man pinning the words to this word of God here. But it's all led by the Holy Spirit. I do believe that. But it's almost like it's a surprise to them. Mark was there that day, I believe. And he saw what happened in this account. But it was almost a surprise to him. But behold, well, I'll be. Just look what happens. It says, here a woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, 12 years, some of you may not realize just how long 12 years. Well, my children are here today. Nathaniel, stand up, son. Nathaniel, I don't want to, he's 9. He's 9 years old. Spencer's over here is 7, and Matthew, wherever he's at, is 4. Well, if you don't realize how long 12 years is, if you ask their mama today, and I'm sure if you ask her, she's going to tell you, I've had an issue of children for 9 years. Can I get amen? Especially since school's out. And I can tell you, I get a phone call at least once a day talking about how crazy my youngins are. Y'all pray for us. But that gives you an idea how long 12 years is. Seems like 12 or more. I can tell you that the way I hear some things. But what was this issue of blood? Now, I realize that we've probably got some younger ears here in the service today. And I'm not going to elaborate on what people think that this issue was. But anyway, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was bleeding constantly. We know this. She was bleeding constantly for 12 years. We're not talking about a little place on your arm that you pick like a young and like a scab and it just continues to bleed. No, we're not talking about that. The translation here, she was hemorrhaging. She was hemorrhaging for 12 years. And another translation puts it, she had a constant flow of blood for 12 years. Well, that's a long time. How many of you had a sore that long? None of us had something that long. It's a pretty bad thing. Now, this thing here is debilitating, and it caused her more grief than you and I can ever imagine. Now, what kind of grief are we talking about? This caused her to be unclean in the eyes of those that were around about her. Unclean. What does it mean to be unclean? This had cut her off from everything. Cut her off completely from everything. She couldn't go out into the fields with her girlfriend. She couldn't go into the same home place as her husband and children. She couldn't go into the marketplace. She couldn't even go into the house of God to worship. She's cut off. She's cut off. She can't do any of that. Some of it might not make too many people mad if they couldn't go to the house of God anymore. But I pray that the Holy Spirit will burden the heart to be back here when the doors are open. It's debilitating. No, she couldn't even be in public around other people. You know, normally the unclean person had to stay away from public, had to move away from them, get them away from them until that issue was resolved. Well, I don't know about some of the sicknesses and some of the things that you had, but she had to be on her own for 12 years. 12 years of solitude. If anybody touched this person, anybody touched an unclean person, they're apt to be labeled as unclean as well. And then they had to be on solitude away from society. Flip back with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. A person that's been condemned or labeled as, if you will, as unclean had to warn people. Had to warn people about their arrival, about their presence. And if you look in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, Isaiah, and when he's standing in the presence of the Lord, gives us the leper's cry. And he says in verse 5, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "Then said I, woe is me, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In other words, he's saying, look out. Look out, here I come, don't be like me. You know, he says, "For I'm undone." You know, the leper had to wrap their body with bandages because their skin was literally falling off. And you're not supposed to touch somebody like that. You're not supposed to associate somebody like that. Well, that she had to cry out for 12 years, "Woe is me, here I come, look out. Don't become like me." Next, we see that she had seen many physicians. But not only had she seen many physicians, how many of you have been to the doctor? Everybody in here has been to the doctor at some point in their life. When you came into this world, you went to see a doctor. But normally you got a little better or something. But in fact, Scripture tells us that she hadn't gotten any better. In fact, she grew worse. This dear soul spent everything she had. Scripture says all that she had. Now, I don't know about you, but that three-letter word that means all then still means the same thing today. It means all that she had, everything. Her entire being has been wasted at the hands of these physicians. You know, I'm sure that they had tried experimental stuff on her because the normal treatments hadn't been working on her. I couldn't help but joke around with this. The JFDA hadn't even approved some of the stuff that she had seen. And if you don't know what the JFDA is, that's the Jewish Federal Food and Drug Administration. That's all, I'd throw that in there for you. They took her for a ride. Boy, they took her for a ride. And it was all at her own expense. She has nothing. Here's a woman that's had this issue for 12 years. She's on her own physically. She's on her own now financially. And she's on her own socially. She has nothing. I want to ask you something. Does anybody know who the physicians of this time primarily were? Primarily. It was the Pharisees. You know, they were supposed to have all the answers. After all, most of these men were the most educated of their day. They were supposed to know what to do with somebody that had a sickness, know what the process to go to cleanse the body. She'd gone to see those religious people. She'd gone to see the religious people, and she ain't got any better. You know, sometimes you and I can be like those religious people. We are that religious group sometimes that has all the answers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Many times when we see a person in need, we come up with a solution all on our own. Well, you need to do that. Well, no, you need to do this. In my opinion, here's what you need to do. Well, you want me to tell you what I do? Anybody know anybody like that? Come on, be honest. I know you do. The common denominator of this is this. When we do that, people don't get any better. We're not helping things. There are people around us each and every day that have an issue of sin. And what do we do as that religious group? What do we do with them? We keep them out of church and away from the one that can do the most good. Why? Because we've got all the answers. You and I, we've got all the answers. What do we need God for? What do we need the Holy Spirit for? We don't need leading. I got an education. I got all the answers. How many of you know the song, "People Need the Lord"? Let me read the lyrics to you. It says, every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. Of course, the chorus goes on, people need the Lord, people need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. Another verse says, we are called to take His light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through His love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must hear the words of life only we can share. Of course, people need the Lord. People do need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? Or is it because of our pride? And I've had the opportunity to speak on that very thing before. Is it because I want to receive the glory from helping a person? Is it because I want to stand before them and say, yep, I got them back where they needed to be? Boy, I tell you what, we get ourselves in such a mess. Let me inform you of something. If you don't already know this, He is the great physician. He is the great physician. And all you and I need to do is keep our mouth shut, keep our opinions to ourselves, pray for and love one another, and point them to the person that can help them. That is in Jesus Christ. Moving on. Scripture tells us that she had heard of Jesus. She had heard of Jesus. What had she heard? Well, she must have heard the miraculous things that Jesus had done. Obviously, folks getting healed and such. I'll tell you right now, that's something the church is not doing enough of right now, is out telling people about Jesus Christ. We're not out witnessing to a lost and dying world. Somebody had witnessed to this woman. Because she had heard about Him. She'd been told of the great things that He had done. And in her mind and heart, she wanted the same thing that they had gotten. She said, I want me some of what they got. After 12 years, I want me some of what they got. People, He can still do the same things that He did then. He can still do them today. He ain't changed, but we have. We need to tell people about these miracles. Miss Sylvia being here today. Miss Sylvia being in this building Thursday. That's a miracle. That's a miracle right before our eyes. You know, it ain't like they ain't there. This woman has suffered many things. And why would she even give this Jesus person? Why would she even give Him the time? You know why? Because she had heard the testimonies of a few. And she knew in her heart that if He had done these things for others so willingly, He wouldn't refuse her. You notice it says that it points out in Scriptures that it says, when she heard, when she had heard of Jesus. And you know, notice something? Notice her faith was in hearing and not in seeing. Too many times today we've got folks that want to see something. I want to see a miracle. I want to see it. Praise God, we've seen it. But I don't need to see it to know that it's real. And here's Jesus. He's on his way to the home of Jairus. And obviously that's a great story about faith in and of itself. But all these people around us, he's just left a group of people on one side of the lake that were a little unsure of his presence being there. And some of them were excited there, but some of them were a little unsure of him being there. Well, he crossed over to the other side to a group of waiting people that wanted him to be there. You know, nowadays it doesn't matter what side of the lake he's going to, people don't want him there. You look at America, look at where we stand today. Don't preach me that Jesus stuff. I don't need to hear that. I know all about it. I don't need to hear it. People need to hear it. You know, the press was so large that the people were pressing against Jesus and his disciples, literally reaching out to touch him. And this dear woman comes in from behind and she touches the border, just the border of his garment. That little word border translates to the fringe of his clothing. You know, the fringe of a Jew's clothing, normally down at the bottom, they wore, you know, I'm sure you've seen renderings, if you will, of traditional dress. But down at the bottom of their garments, most of the Jews were instructed back, I think it was in Leviticus, they talked about they had to put a blue ribbon, if you will, around the bottom of their clothing to show that they were different. Show that they were set apart. And below that blue ribbon was little tassels all the way around their garment hanging down. But she came with a faith in him being so strong that all she needed to do in her heart was touch the hem, the bottom fringe, the border of his garment. And she knew right then that he would heal her. Y'all remember seeing that movie? I don't remember what the name of it. Can't remember the name of it. The guy said, "Just a dab will do." That's all she got. She said, "I'm going to come and touch him. Just a dab will do. It's going to make a difference in my life." I'm going to tell you this right now. The smallest amount of Jesus in your life will make a big change in your being. You know, his power is so great that just a little bit of it, just a little bit of it, will change you forever if you'll just reach out and touch it. Let's keep moving. I know most of you know this passage already. I know that, but I know some of us don't. But I notice there's something that sticks with me the most, and we'll talk about it in just a minute. But she comes in from what direction? She comes in from behind. She crawled. And she went through this crowd until she got to where she could reach out and just touch his garment. You know, stealth. Stealth doesn't begin to describe what this woman had done. The people are literally pressing in against him. The disciples are all around him. And she sneaks. Son, James Bond ain't got nothing on this woman. Because she gets to him. And nobody notices. She's come from where she was, and she gets to Jesus in a crowd where nobody's noticed this unclean person, because if they'd have seen her, son, the crowd would have parted. You know, when we stand before somebody that we know has sin in their life, what do? Boy, they've been doing drugs. Boy, they're an alcoholic. We'd try our best to go away from them, go around them. You know, you and I can be so focused on worshiping and working in doing the Lord's work that we seem to forget to notice the people that are around us that need Him the most. Now, why is this important to know the direction that she came in? Why is it important to know that she came in from behind Him? Well, it shows something. It shows humility. Now, if you come up to somebody and you stare and you look them in the face, you look them eye to eye, you're liable to make somebody uneasy. You know, I've always heard in the animal world, if you stare an animal in the eye, that they think that's confrontational, that it's a sign of aggression. Now, I believe when you shake a man's hand, you ought to look him in the eye. I believe that. I do. But I tell you what, if Brother Billy was out greeting you before the worship service in the morning and somebody was way across here and he just kind of looks up to glance while he's talking to this person, see who's around, and he makes eye contact with that person, and they make a beeline from that door to where he is, and then they interrupt his conversation with this person, now all the while they're staring at him, don't you think that's going to make him a little uneasy? I know it would me. She knew her condition. She knew her condition. And she showed humility. She was humble. She knew she needed what man couldn't give her. She came in behind him, timidly, but with a great faith. In her mind, he had what made her an outcast in society could be passed on to him if people knew that he had touched her. She didn't want that. She knew somehow that could make him unclean in the eyes of these people. If some of us realize that the condition that we're in, after hearing of this great healer like she has, we'd get on our knees at the altar right now and ask that God remove our issue of sin enough from us forever. Too many times, because of that religious group, we think we already got what we needed to get us fixed up. And all that has gotten us is a little bit deeper in sin and debt, and we've let our morals sink to all-time lows. She came in faith that she didn't want the attention from the simple touch. She didn't stand up and try to draw attention to herself away from him. She didn't stand up and say, look what I did. Look what I did. I touched him. She didn't stand up and do that. It don't matter what kind of attention you get. Let me tell you something. Whatever happens that God will bless you with, it ain't nothing that you're doing. It's all about what he did. I find it odd that there were masses of people. The word calls it the press. All around Jesus trying to touch this man. And I find it odd. All these people are literally touching him because they wanted to see something. They wanted to see what happened. But of all these people, how many people gets healed? One. One person gets healed. You know, lots of folks say they get saved. Lots of people say they got saved. Boy, yes, sir. I even got witnesses that saw me walk down and shake the preacher's hand. My family came to see me get baptized. I got saved. Blah, blah, blah. You know, many people touch Jesus. Many people touch Jesus on this day. But they weren't saved or healed at that moment. It's because they didn't do it by faith. It's from a sense of want or somewhat of a conviction of his ability and willingness to heal them. But faith shows a virtue of Christ in the soul. And the result is an immediate spiritual healing. She said, if I could just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. That word whole, if you can draw in on that word, it says to be made complete, to be made full, to be made perfect in our dictionaries. But let me tell you, it means so much more than that. It means so much more than that. It means to be delivered. If I could just touch the border of his garment, I'll be delivered. It means to be saved. If I could just touch the border of his garment, I'll be saved. It means to be healed. Boy, I hope you get that. Boy, when I got me some of that Jesus stuff, boy, I got made complete. I'm getting perfected each and every day. I got delivered. I got delivered. I got saved. I got my healing. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it or perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, lost person, if you'll just get in your heart today that you're lost and that you're undone and that you need Jesus and that you will come to him with humility, that you'll come to him with a humble heart and ask him to save you because of the condition that you are in, you can be saved and you can be made whole. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved." How many of you are glad you're saved today? Amen. Amen. Let's keep moving. Scripture says that straightway, or that is to say, immediately her problem left her. Glory. Immediately the problem left her. It didn't have to, one of those things that had to heal up, keep a Band-Aid on it so it can heal up so people don't see it. It left her immediately. I can't help but think, boy, when I got saved, my problem left me immediately. My sin was gone. Brother Charles sang a song the other day. He didn't misremember no more. That's a picture. That's somewhat of a picture of the Holy Ghost coming into the heart of a believer. It was immediate. He didn't have to sneak up on her. He didn't have to do that. She didn't have to cover it up with a Band-Aid until it was gone. Move on down to verse 33. Jesus had just asked his disciples. He turns around. He says, "Who touched me?" And it says, "She came to him fearing and trembling and fell at his feet." Now this is because she didn't want to be recognized in this large crowd. In Luke's account, it says that she wasn't hid anymore. Attention has been drawn to this woman now. She comes and tells Jesus the truth because she knew what was done in her. Look at it. She began to testify to Jesus. She began to tell the one that just healed her. "Thank you, God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for healing my issue. God, thank you for removing it. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for perfecting me. Thank you for making me complete." She's beginning to testify to God. God wants to hear the praises of His people. In fact, the Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people. She just got saved and it changed her. She stood right up in the crowd and began to praise the Savior for what He did. Now, there's a lesson for you, me and you. When we get saved, I mean genuinely saved, because you'll know it in your heart and your body and soul, just like this woman did, you'll begin to publicly testify about what He's done for you. How many times have we got to come in on Wednesday night, but we can't get people to say nothing? It's in the church all across this land. Nobody wants to publicly stand up and say, "I've been saved. I've been washed in the blood." We got something to shout about. Something to praise God about. Because my issue has left me immediately. And I got to thank God for it. Jesus knew that this is going to be tough for her, though. And that's why He stands and He calls her daughter. He calls her daughter, one, to comfort her. But two, now because she's just one of the family. Jesus then tells her to go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Another translation says to go in peace. To go in peace and be free from your disease. When you look at these words that are used here, he says, go in peace. And if you'll try to figure that out, it says go to or go into peace. Go in peace or go into peace. Not only was she healed physically, but she was just healed spiritually. She has entered into peace everlasting. And she's been set free because of what? Her faith. All you got to do is step out on faith. Come to Him and ask Him that He'll save you. Look back with me quickly. My stomach's growling too. It says, look back to verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus knew that virtue, His power had gone out of Him. And it won't no surprise. You can't surprise God. He wanted everyone else to see what had happened. But I want you to take special notice of the disciples in this thing. They don't even notice the woman. In fact, when Jesus asked who touched me, Peter, well, I tell you, I love Peter. Flip back over to Luke chapter 8. I love Peter. Luke chapter 8, look at verse 45. When you get there, say amen. You got to realize Peter always had a knack for sticking his foot in his mouth. Always. Always. Always spoke before he thought. Some of us don't think before we speak. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. A lot of times. Luke chapter 8 verse 45. And it says, "And Jesus said, Who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were there with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and sayest thou, Who touched me?" Man, he's going, come on, man. Look at all these people around here. And you see, you want me to tell you who just touched you? Come on, man. I couldn't help but notice, and this is what stuck with me. I couldn't help but notice the position of the disciples. Well, they couldn't be behind him, or else they'd have blocked this woman getting to Jesus. People all around him trying to get a glimpse of this man, trying to touch him, see what would happen. I see this as the disciples being the first group of secret service. They're playing zone defense around the Savior. Got a boxing one going on around him, trying to keep people away from him. Who touched you? Man, come on, be real. I ain't seen nobody touch you. But I want you to think about something. If they're blocking people off from getting to the Savior, that's strange to me. I'm going to ask you something. What was the general call to all the disciples? He said, "Follow me." He said, "Follow me." We can't really follow somebody if we're doing the leading. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me." That word follow means to be in the same way. You know, we walk in a line. We don't walk on a line. We walk in a line. But when you walk in a line, what's always at the head of it? The leader. You can't go through a door side by side. And I know some of the kids will probably go home and try that today, and they'll prove me wrong. But you put two big boys like me up there at the door, and we ain't going to get through the door at the same time. Statement in Matthew was made by Jesus because he knew that people didn't have the faith to let go of self. Why do we follow? Because if we follow him, we imitate him. Because if Jesus hadn't laid down a narrow path for us to walk as believers, we'd stay on the wide path to destruction. Now, we've made it full circle in this message. Earlier, we said that the religious folk tried to help keep people, they tried to keep people away from what they needed. Here are the very followers of Jesus keeping people from Christ. I said some of that religious group was some of those physicians. Luke was a physician. Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" because he wanted the woman to hear him asking the question so that maybe she'd answer publicly to this healing. He said, he stopped. I can just imagine he stopped because he knew what had happened. Said, "Who touched me?" And Peter, before he can take a look back, he's got his mouth wide open, words blaring out. But it won't for him. Necessarily, it's for this woman behind him. Maybe she'd stand up and testify to this public healing, but also just maybe it was to show the disciples, the ones that walked to him the closest, maybe hadn't walked close enough. In other words, stay focused on him and the work that he's called you to do, but also pay attention to the folks around you. I'll make this statement, and I want you to listen to it. It says, you know, we want people to get saved. How many of you want people to get saved? All of us do. But sometimes we don't want the people that get saved. I want you to think about that for a moment. We want people to get saved, but sometimes we don't want the people that get saved. Well, church, I hope that we're getting the sin-sick people to the right doctor. What have we got to learn from this? That we must all of us must step out on faith and not sight. We must come unto Him humbly. And we need to be public in our confession of Christ as our Master and Lord. And we need to testify about what He's done for us, that we need to stay focused, but that we need to follow Him by faith. As you think about that this morning, I pray that your earnest plea and that your prayer is that we get people into the kingdom of God, no matter where they come from, no matter what issue that they've had in the past. That we're not telling them this is what you got to do before you can come to church. I hope that you're telling people, let's get you to the right doctor. I know a man. I know a man that can take it away right then. Because he healed me. I had an issue. And it was called sin. You've got an issue. And it's called sin. And it's only going to get worse. And it's only going to take you to a place that you can't get away from. No matter what doctor you see, no matter what you try to do, no matter what money you spend, no matter what kind of good works you try to do, it ain't going to take your issue away. But I can tell you somebody that can. And his name is Jesus. I ask you one last question. Which of you this day would decide to follow Jesus? I hope there's a lost person here today that'll look back at this and say, I've got an issue. And there ain't nothing I can do about it. But I want to come to the Master humbly. I want to bow before Him and I want to confess my sins to Him. Would you stand with me?